Okay, so this afternoon, we want to look at something. So some people are wondering, why have we been looking at this? We look at everything, and I want to look at something. Amen. Let's look at heaven. Hallelujah. Let's look at heaven. Now, if you notice, throughout this meeting, whenever I say, I'll say something like, when we get to heaven, then I'll quickly correct myself. Did you notice that? Were you observant? I would say, I remember I said, eternal life is not when you die and get to heaven. Then I say, oh, no. The end of the age. Because religion is powerful. I used to tell you that some of you, you were saved, you were born again, and from the born again experience, you just entered straight into the holiest of all. Some of us needed to pass outer courts. We suffered in the outer court first. Suffered. Then from there, we now entered into the inner court. We suffered. We now entered first into the holiest of all. Some of you are lucky. You just got saved and you heard grace message. So, that idea of heaven, that, now, when I say heaven, I can bet you that 90% of the audience, immediately they saw something white. Am I lying? If you are frowning your face right now, you are already condemned. Amen. Why are you frowning your face? Why are you frowning your face? You want to say you are a word man? I didn't think about that. No, it was a word only. If I put you, white place, have you? Up! Let me even add that. Up. So, the question is now, I remember an astronaut went to heaven, and then he held his sign. He went to the sky, pardon me. Then he heard this guy said, I don't see any God here. And somebody commented on the film. He said, let your bread run out till you see God. Hallelujah. Do you get that? So, you think heaven is up. So, when Jesus Christ is coming now, he's very hopeful. That's why he has been coming since 2000 years. So, and again, he's not coming on chariot again. It has been 2000 years. They are still seeing him on chariot. We have had Bugatti. We have had private jets, but Jesus is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ sent his son in chariots and horse. Big. So that's why since he has still been coming. Do you understand now, Abby? Do you understand why it's delaying? Don't worry. Maybe we get here in 30:30. Hallelujah. But heaven is a terminology that needs to be explained. Hallelujah. Because if you miss it there, you almost miss it everywhere. A lot of misconceptions that we have concerning the Christian faith is from a misconception of this particular terminology. Now, in the Hebrew, the word heaven is the word shamayim. Shamayim. S-H-A-M-A-Y-I-M. Shamayim. Now, it's one of those words that has many meanings. Do you remember that? So you have to look at the context to understand what exactly is being said. It cannot be generalized everywhere. Amen? You cannot say heaven throughout the Bible means heaven. No. You have to look at what exactly is being referred to. For example, the word shamayim, which is heaven in the Hebrew, can be used for the physical sky. Please write that down. Number one, it can be used for the physical sky. That is this atmosphere that we are seeing, where we see the sun, the moon, the stars and all of that. That's the word shamayim. It can be used for that. You see that in Genesis chapter 1, verse 14 to 19. You see that again in Genesis chapter 15, verse 5. Genesis chapter 22, verse 15 till 17. And Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 19. Used for the physical sky. Did you get that? Now, number two, it could also refer to the air. Shamayim, or heaven, could also refer to the air where birds fly. You see that in Genesis chapter 1, verse 20. It could also, verse number 3, refer to where rain falls from. See that in Genesis chapter 7, verse 10 to 12, and Genesis chapter 8, verse 2. Amen? Now, obviously, everything we've looked at so far is natural, right? Nothing spiritual yet. So, you would now need, and because we are people who are very, very sensual, we now use the natural to describe the spiritual. So, we now think that because heaven can be cloud, so heaven is in the cloud. Amen? Now, let's look at spiritual heaven. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Hallelujah. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In Hebrew, Bereshit bara Elohim, et ashimaim ve'et ha'erest. So it says, in the beginning, he created the heavens and the earth. And now, if you check the Hebrew, when it says and, okay, God created the heavens and the earth. And there, in the Hebrew, is an accusative term. Like you're saying accusation, but that's right, I-V-E. Now, what does it mean for an accusative, or what does an accusative term mean? If I say, I see a dog. See is accusative. Oh, pardon me. I always make this mistake every time. The dog is accusative because it limits my sight to something. Do you get that? Now, I can say, I see. And then you now have to ask, what exactly are you seeing? So, it limits the verb to a noun. Do you get that? Is that clear? So, when it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, we can read it this way. In the beginning, God created the heavens, that earth. Do you get that? Or, he created the heavens. I don't want to say it, because there's some people are looking at me, but it's like, in the Hebrew, this is the way it sounds. He created the heaven. When you are not looking for the heaven, it is that earth. Are we following? Hey, what happened to us now? That's one big balloon in somebody's head. Just went, poof! Hallelujah. So another question we need to ask ourselves is, if he created the heavens and the earth, obviously, where was he? Abi? Before he created those things, we need to ask the question, where was God? Because if God created the heavens, created the earth, obviously he was not living there, right? Right? If before you create something, you can't be said to be living in it. That's clear, right? That's clear, no? Okay. So, we will need to answer that question as well, but maybe we'll do that as we proceed. So, in Genesis chapter 1 verse 1, heaven is not the physical sky. Amen? It refers to a spiritual reality. Amen? Observe again also here that heaven and earth were created at the same time. Do you see that? In the beginning, God created the heavens, that earth, right? So, they were created at the same time. So, from Genesis chapter 1 verse 1, is there a distance? Does the writer of Moses imply a distance between heaven and earth? No, right? Now, see something. Genesis chapter 21. Genesis chapter 21. Verse 17. Hallelujah. You know the story of Agar, who had just been thrown out of Abraham's house by mistress Sarah. It says, and God heard the voice of the lad. Then the angel of God called to Agar out of where? Heaven, and said to her, what is you, Agar? Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the lad where he is. Now, the angel of the Lord spoke to Agar out of heaven. Now, question, did Agar leave the earth? When she heard the angel's voice? Where did the angel speak to her from? From heaven, right? Where is she? So did she, when the angel was talking to her, did she levitate to heaven to hear his voice? So the angel was talking where? The angel was talking where? Hey, where was the angel talking? Heaven or earth? Genesis chapter 21 verse 17. Where did the angel talk out from? Where was she? And she heard his voice. Or he was using a megaphone. Hey God! Is that what it is? So, where she was on earth, she had heaven. Follow. Genesis chapter 28. Genesis chapter 28, verse 10. Now, because it's a very long read, I will just try as much as possible to summarize. Genesis chapter 28, verse 10. Now, Jacob, you remember the story, he was in hiding, he ran away, and then he saw a vision. Look at verse 12. He says, then he dreamed, And behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and his top reached to where? To heaven, right? And there, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. Did you see that? Hey, did you see that? Now, see verse 17. Of, let's do 16. It says, then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in his place, and I do not know it. Verse 17. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? There is none other than the house of God, and this is what? The gate of heaven. Where was he? On earth, right? And what did he see? Heaven. Where was heaven? Okay. Genesis chapter 22. Please, let's think together as we read. Genesis chapter 22, verse 10. It says, and Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from where? Heaven. So, how can the angel call to him from heaven if heaven and earth are far away? Do you see that? Exodus chapter 16. Exodus chapter 16, verse 4. Very interesting story. The Lord said to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quarter every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. So where is God raining the bread from? Question, is there a bread making factory in heaven? Kingdom of Heaven, Agege Limited, or Agege Incorporated, Heaven Branch. Is there something like that in heaven? When they saw the bread coming down, where did it come from? When they saw the bread, where did the bread come from? The sky, right? God said it's coming from heaven. So obviously, where the sky was and where the bread is coming from are in the same place, which is heaven, right? Okay? You are the one saying it. We are looking at it together. Aha. Deuteronomy chapter 10. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 14. Now, this text is someone we need to pay very close attention to. It says, indeed, heaven and the highest heavens belong to the Lord our God, also the earth with all that is in it. So, what's his name? Moses distinguishes between heaven and the highest heaven. Do you see that? And then he says that all of them belong to him. Please pay attention to details. Do you see that? So there is heaven and then there's the highest heaven. Have you seen that so far? First Kings chapter 8. First Kings chapter 8, verse 27. Hallelujah. It says, but will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain you. How much more less this temple which I have built? So it says the heavens of heavens cannot contain you. Do you see that again? Psalms chapter 20. Psalms chapter 20, reading from verse 6. He says, now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from where? His holy heaven, with the saving strength of his right hand. So the anointed and the God who is answering him, where are they? Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 2. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 2. It says, hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. Now, who is he referring to here? When it says, hear, O heavens, is he referring to the sky or men? Men, right? So what does he call men? Jeremiah chapter 2. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 9. He says, therefore, I will yet bring charges against you, says the Lord, and against your children's children I will bring charges. Verse 10, for pass beyond the coast of Cyprus and see, send to Kedar and consider diligently and see if there has been such a thing. Verse 11, as a nation changed its gods, which are not gods, but my people have changed their glory. For what does not profit? Verse 12, be astonished, O heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be very desolate. Now, heavens here, is it referring to the literal sky or men? Can the heavens, can the sky be surprised? Job chapter 15. Job chapter 15, verse 15. Job chapter 15, verse 15. Out there. It says, if God puts no trust in his saints, and the heavens are not pure in his sight. Do you see that? So Job equates the saints, which are men, right? Right? To heaven. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you see that? Psalm 97. Psalm 97, verse 6. Psalm 97, verse 6. It says, the heavens declare his righteousness, and all the peoples see his glory. Can we say the heavens who declare his righteousness are the same people who see his glory? Okay. Psalm 89. Psalms chapter 89, verse 5. It says, and the heavens will praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness also in the assembly of the saints. Do you see that? So he says, the heavens will praise you. Now, I think there's a song like that in Yoruba, that everything in nature is praising God. So when the thunder in the sky should do brakakakaka, the tongues and interpretation is, God, you are worthy to be praised. Oh, God, you are wonderful. What is that? Daniel chapter 4. Daniel chapter 4, verse 31. Are we following so far? Okay. Daniel chapter 4, verse 31. It says, while the word was still in the king's mouth, a voice fell from heaven. King Nebuchadnezzar, or Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you. So he was on earth and he heard a voice from heaven. So can we say heaven is where man is? Now, you are the one that will give me the answer. Amen. Because I believe you read what I just said, right? You look at all these texts together, right? So, from what we've seen so far, do the scriptures create a distance between heaven and man? Or it seems to imply, can we say that? It seems to imply that heaven and man are in the same place. Talk, oh, this is not the time to be giving me holy face. Talk. Amen. Can we say that? You've agreed that we can say that. So we can move on. Right? Everybody just look at me like, where is he going to? Isaiah chapter 66. Isaiah chapter 66. Hallelujah. Reading from verse 1. Very popular verse. In fact, it's said that it's one of the, it's the most quoted verse in the New Testament. Remember I told you that Isaiah was very close to the Pauline revelation. Very, very close. How many of you wanted to open to Isaiah and you accidentally opened the New Testament? Okay. Just me. Verse 1. It says, thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build me? And where is the place of my rest? Now, in the Hebrew, there is a word that was not translated here by the English translators. The Hebrew actually says, the heaven is my throne. Okay? So it's definite in the Hebrew. The heaven is my throne and the earth my footstool. So it seems to divide between heaven, then heavens, then the heaven. I don't know if I've heard that so far. I don't know if I've said that so far. Hey, did you see that? Now the word throne here in the Hebrew is the word kisei. It's like writing kiss, then you put E behind it. Amen. Kisei, that's how it's pronounced in the Hebrew. It refers to a seat of honor. The word throne. A seat of honor. Please write down everything I'm saying. A seat of honor, and it is used here figuratively for authority or power. Amen? So obviously, throne here is not literal, right? But figurative. Amen? That is, the heaven is where my authority is. Did you get that? Did you get that? Now, look at the word footstool. The word footstool in the Hebrew is the word adon. H-A-D-O-N. Adon. Or adon. It's a term that is used to express conquest or submission. It's a term that is used to express conquest or submission. Look at Psalm 110. Let's turn it quickly. Verse 1. He says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your what? Footstool. So it refers to authority in display. Do you get that? So when he says, heaven is my throne, that is, my authority is in heaven. When he says, the earth is my footstool, I now exercise that authority on the earth. Clear? Clear? So, that authority of God, which we can say is in heaven, is now exercised on earth. Now, how can this be there's a distance? Are we thinking together? How can this be if there is a distance between heaven and earth? Now, so we can describe heaven as the unseen. Okay? That unseen realm. So it says my authority, which is in the unseen realm, is now exercised on the earth. What men can see. Hallelujah. So you don't use physical heaven to explain the spiritual. Rather, you use the spiritual to explain the physical. Are we together? Amen. Amen. So, Daniel chapter 4. Daniel chapter 4, verse 13. Daniel chapter 4, verse 13. He says, I saw in the visions of my head while on my bed, and there was a watcher, a holy one, coming down from heaven. So Daniel looks up to the heavens and he sees a being come down from heaven. Amen? And when he says heaven here, he's referring to the literal sky, right? The physical sky here. Now, the being he saw, is it an earthly being? Or a supernatural being. There's an angel we saw, right? A supernatural being. But then he saw a supernatural being come down from the physical sky. So can we say where he came down from was in the sky he came down from? Did you get what I just said? Where he saw the being come down from was in the same place as the sky that he was looking at. So we've seen heaven on earth. We've seen heaven around the earth now. Right? Right? Are we together? Have you seen that so far? Hey, have you seen that so far? So we've seen heaven around man. We've even seen heaven as man, depending on the context in which it was used. Now, it will now make sense. Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3, verse 2. Or let's do 1. It says, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now that phrase, is at hand, in the Greek, is the word ekgizo. E-G-G-I-Z-O. Ekgizo. That's the word in the Greek. It means to come near, bring near, or draw close. To come near, bring near, or draw close. It actually expresses extreme closeness. A presence. In fact, the original Greek reads this way. It says, the kingdom of heaven is indeed drawn near. So the next question we need to ask ourselves is, how do the kingdom of heaven draw near? Hallelujah. Because we've seen heaven in man as man, right? We've seen heaven around man, right? We've seen heaven around the earth, right? Then it tells you here that the kingdom of heaven now drew near. So we have to pay close attention to this, right? The word heaven in the Greek is the word Uranus. O-U-R-A-N-O-S. O-U-R-A-N-O-S. Uranus. That's the word heaven in the Greek. It's the same word Shamayim in the Old Testament. It's just like the Greek of Shamayim. Okay? Now, it can either refer to the physical sky. Like in Matthew chapter 16 verse 1 to 2, you see that there. It refers to the physical sky. In Acts chapter 6 verse 3, it's used there as well. For, you know, the sky. When in scripture it says that the heavens were opened. That's the word there. It says the heavens were opened. Amen? Amen. You know, it says about, what's his name now? Stephen. It says, Stephen looked up to heaven and saw the heaven open and he saw the Son of Man standing, right? At the right hand of God. Now it says he was full of the Spirit. So that makes sense. Did you get that? Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10 verse 9. Peter and Cornelius. He says, then the next day, as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up to the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Then he became very hungry and wanted to eat, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance, verse 11, and saw heaven opened and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners descending to him and let down to the earth. Hallelujah. So Peter saw something. Amen. Now, where was Peter when he saw it? On the earth, right? Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. It says, when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, and alighting upon him. Now, obviously, this was a vision of who? John the Baptizer, right? To show that this was the Messiah, because he knew from scripture, and then he was told as well, he lets us know in that he was instructed to baptize till the Messiah comes, right? And he says, whoever you see the Holy Ghost come on is the Messiah. So when he saw the Holy Ghost come on him, baptism ended. Do you get that? So baptism was till the Messiah came. Hallelujah. Now, when John saw this vision, he was on the earth. He didn't leave the earth. He was here on the ground and he saw something in heaven. Are we following? So therefore, this word Uranus that we looked at earlier would refer to the unseen realm. That's the word in the Greek. It refers to the unseen realm. It has a variant, Epiranus as well. It refers to the unseen realm, or we can say the sphere of the supernatural, where the supernatural activities take place. Okay? Did you get that? Uranus is from a root word that means to cover, referring to the fact that this supernatural sphere is all around the earth. It covers mankind. It is in our activities. Are we together? So in our activities, heaven is there. Amen? Are we together? So heaven is on the earth, above the earth, under the earth, on the earth.
Hallelujah. Covers the earth. Just like the way we have an atmosphere. So, the Greek meaning of heaven would refer to a sphere of the supernatural around man. Okay? Did you get that? Hey, did you get that? So we have an atmosphere of supernatural activity. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, can we say God is in that realm? Can we say that? Can we say that man's spirit is in that realm? Can we say devils are in that realm? Calm down. Because you don't know if I'm setting a trap for you that you don't fall into. Yeah, man, so calm down. Can we say God is in that realm called heaven? Eh? Yes, have we? Okay. Can we say man's spirit is there? Is the sphere of the supernatural, right? So every supernatural being will be there. Is the devil a supernatural being? Why are you smiling? Is the devil a supernatural being? Okay. You have said so. Hallelujah. So everything that is unseen will be seen in that realm. Abi? So it's the realm of the supernatural. So in Matthew chapter 3 verse 1, when he says that the kingdom of heaven was at hand, that is the kingdom of heaven is now here, it drew near. Obviously, he is referring to the incarnation of Jesus, right? By Jesus coming in the flesh, the kingdom of heaven drew even closer to man. God was now found in man. Do you get that? So we cannot say today that the kingdom of heaven is still at hand. Repent, or the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We can't say that today. That was speaking concerning the incarnation of Jesus. Do you understand? That God is now where man is. Do you get that? Hey. Do you get that? Hey, hey. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 5, we'll start reading from verse 33. It says, again, you have heard it that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oaths to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Now, here again, there is an article that was not translated. It says, do not swear at all, neither by the heaven. That's how it sounds in the Greek. Neither by the heaven, for it is God's throne. The word throne here in the Greek is the word thronos. Just write throne, but remove E and put OS. Thronos. That's the word in the Greek. It means a chair of power. Okay? A chair of power. Now, by metonymy, here, it refers to kingly power or royalty. So it's used here as a figure of speech for kingly power or royalty. So it says that this heaven is God's realm of power. Amen? So it points our attention, or it pointed the attention to the reality of an heavenly realm in which is the power of God. Do you see that? So it points their attention to that fact. Verse 35, it says, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool. The word footstool is hupo-podion. Hupo-podion. H-U-P-O-P-O-D-I-O-N. H-U-P-O-P-O-D-I-O-N. It literally means under the feet. So in those days, what happens is when a king, you know, conquers another king, he lines them up and he keeps his feet on them. To show total dominion. Do you get that? So he uses the figure of speech, the same image he uses here. He says, the earth is his footstool. That is, his dominion is exercised on the earth. Do you get that? Now remember, he's quoting from Isaiah 66 verse 1. Do you remember that? Where we saw earlier. That is, it means to reduce one, or to reduce under one's power. Amen? So the authority of God is exercised directly on the earth. It is not outside his dominion. See verse 16 of that same chapter. It says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Can we say your Father in the unseen realm? Can we say your father in the unseen realm? So when he says heavenly father, he says heavenly because they know their earthly fathers, right? So he uses that to make a contrast between the earthly father, the one you can see, and that which is in the unseen realm. Are you following? So he points to God who is heavenly. He says the same thing as well in Matthew chapter 6 verse 9. He says, our father in heaven. That is our father who is in the unseen. Do you get that? He says, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is, you have a will in the unseen. Now let us see that will in the seen realm. Hallelujah. Have you seen that so far now? So can we pray, this prayer till now? The Lord's Prayer that I never prayed. Can we pray it now? Can we say, Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The will is salvation, right? Has it been accomplished already? So can we still pray for that till today? Okay. You said so. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7 verse 21. Very famous verse. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Brethren, are you worthy of the kingdom of heaven? Because not everybody that says Lord, Lord shall enter. You know, when you are born again, you see the kingdom. Do you get that? When you believe in the gospel, you see the kingdom. But you know, when you get saved, you see the kingdom. But when you are born again, you not enter into the kingdom. Do you get that? So, not everybody who says to me, Lord, Lord shall enter the kingdom. But he who does the will of my Father. Are you doing the will of his Father? Now, Jesus Christ introduces a word here. He says, kingdom of heaven. Okay? So we've seen heaven. We've seen heavens. We've seen the heaven. Now we see kingdom of heaven. Are we together? Now, the word kingdom here in the Greek is the word basilia. Basilia. B-A. S-I-L-E-I-A. B-A-S-I-L-E-I-A. I hope as I'm saying that somebody is just saying, Okay. It refers to a rule or authority. 7-1-2-2. Abi? It refers to a rule or authority. Basilia. To a rule or authority, the realm in which a king's sovereignty is exercised. You know, you can't say you have authority if there is no place it is exercised. Imagine if Buhari says, I'm the president. You have to ask him, president of what? Where, right? So, Basilia is where he now exercises his authority. Do you get that? Because there can be no authority where there is no kingdom to exercise in. So, kingdom is for a display of power. Kingdom is for a display of authority. Now, heaven is the unseen, right? The unseen around us, the unseen on top of us, the unseen under us, the unseen with us. In fact, we can say the unseen in us, right? The sphere of the supernatural. So, the kingdom of heaven will now refer to a rule where God exercises authority. Now, when he says the kingdom of heaven, he uses a figure of speech because there are men, right, on the earth. They knew what is known as earthly kingdoms. They knew the kingdom of Rome, right? They knew the kingdom of Greece. They knew the Jewish kingdom, right? They knew the Ethiopian kingdom, the Egyptian kingdom. And that lets them know that the kingdom I'm referring to is in the unseen. Hallelujah. It's not visible. It's not tangible. You cannot see it. Amen. It's in the realm of the unseen. It's not visible to the eye of man. So obviously, the kingdom of heaven cannot be a city. Do you get that now? Hello? Are we together? The kingdom of heaven, if it is a kingdom of the unseen, the kingdom of the intangible, right? Right? Do you know what I mean of intangible? Aha. So something that cannot be felt, cannot be seen, you know, it's an unseen reality in the realm of the supernatural. If that is what the kingdom of heaven is, then it cannot be a city. Are we following? It cannot be that it's a town up that we are going to someday. That's clear so far now. So when Jesus Christ was ascending, he was going, then his head is Jupiter. He said, yeah. Then he did his head like this, then he kept going up, past Pluto, past everything. Then he now started seeing a bright light from afar. You know those people that say they have dreams? That's what they say. That their spirit will leave their body. Then we explain that. Their spirit will leave their body. And then they will keep going up. A man has not eaten for 3 days and is wondering why he's seeing such things. Low blood sugar. That's what is causing that. That's not the vision. Go and eat your benny. You're hungry. Amen. Amen. Matthew chapter 7 in verse 2. It now says that, for with what judgment, okay, sorry. That was a mistake. Matthew chapter 8 verse 10. Matthew chapter 8 verse 10. It says, when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly I say to you, I have not seen such great faith, not even in Israel. Verse 11. And I say to you that many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Where? In the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. So he mentions the kingdom of heaven. Matthew chapter 12. Verse 27. Are we there? He says, and if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. Verse 28. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has what? Come upon you. Now, that's bad translation. It's not, the word has come in the Greek is the word phthano. P-H-T-H-A-N-O. Phthano. That's the word in the Greek. It means to arrive. Okay? It is actually used for something that comes unexpectedly. When you were not expecting it. So we can say that, you know, the kingdom of God has arrived upon you. Now the word upon in the Greek is the word epi. Epi. Now it's one of those words that has several meanings in the Greek. It means on, to, against, and at. So when the translators looked at this, they had a choice to choose either of what I just said and put it there. So the translators choose upon. But if I was to translate it, I would not put upon. I would put to. So I would read it this way. The kingdom of heaven has arrived to you. Something like that. Are we together? Are we together? Now, how did that happen? Obviously, by the incarnation of the Christ, right? It was God that became man, so he refers to himself as the kingdom of heaven. Are you seeing that? Are you seeing that? So he calls himself the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, verse 1. Another very popular verse. It says, at the time the disciples came to Jesus saying, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Matthew 18 verse 1. We're in verse 2 now. It says, then Jesus called a little child to him and said, and set him in the midst of them and said, assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted, okay, and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Verse 4. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Are we following? Verse 5. Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. Now, look at verse 3 again. Is Jesus Christ saying that automatically children are the greatest in heaven? Please look at your Bible. Is that what he's saying there? That when you get to the kingdom of heaven, there is president, there is governor, there is local government chairman, there is ballet, there's oba, then children are the highest ranking of all of them. Is that what he's saying there? Look at your Bibles now. Ah? It would refer to childlike faith, right? A childlike art, right? Now, see what it says in verse 3. It says, Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted, the word converted in the Greek is the word strepho. S-T-R-E-P-H-O. The last O has an accent on top of it. The word strepho. It refers to that turning of the heart. To change the mind. And in context of verse 4, that refers to humility. Do you see that now? That is how the heart of a child is. That is, the child easily believes. So who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Those who are easily convinced about the message, right? Childlike faith, right? Are we together? Now see verse 5, very misleading. It says, whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. So you now say that we are doing children ministry. Because Jesus Christ said that whoever receives little children receives him. So we will now go, we'll carry biscuits, you know, we'll give children because we want to receive Jesus. Now, there is a syntax issue here. Syntax is the way words are arranged in the Greek. And when they are arranged in the Greek, in the English, they are now rearranged. Now, what happens is that syntax is not divinely inspired. The translator has a license to arrange words based on what he thinks is fine. Do you understand? Do you understand that some people are scared whenever we try to rearrange words or retranslate words because in their mind, like, hey, revelation. That's the next thing that goes in my mind. Whoever removes from this book, I will remove of his part in the tree of life. Whoever adds to this book, I will add to his plagues. So they don't want plagues to be added to them. But we are not changing the word of God. What we are changing is the translations of men. Do you understand? And let me qualify the wrong translations of men. Now, there's a major syntax issue here that I want you to pay attention. Now, we are going to rearrange it. It says, whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. Now, this is how it should have read. Whoever receives one, please write this down. Whoever receives one in my name. Do you get that? A. What's his name? His authority. Can we say the gospel? His reputation in his death, burial, and resurrection, right? Right. Or is this somebody still scared that we are changing Bible? Okay. It says, whoever receives one in my name, like this little child receives me. Do you understand that? Do you understand that? It's not saying that whoever receives a little child like this in my name receives me. It's actually pointing to the fact that whoever receives somebody in my name, like the way this little child has a childlike faith, is receives me. Clear? Amen? So it would refer to the fact that, okay, a man would need to put faith on the gospel, childlike faith, in the message, in the facts of the gospel, that is the one that receives Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. So far, what is the qualification for heaven? Good works, tithing, evangelism, long hours of prayer, studying, long hours of fasting. What is the qualification so far? Childlike faith, right? Hallelujah. Praise God. Matthew chapter 19 verse 23. Matthew chapter 19 verse 23. He says, then Jesus said to his disciples, assuredly I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Verse 24. And again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Now see verse 25. When his disciples heard it, they were greatly astonished, saying, who then can be saved? Verse 26. But Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men this is impossible, but with God what? With God what? So you see, all things is within a context, right? That is, with man, his efforts can never take him into the kingdom. Do you see that? Do you see that? But he completely lacks the ability to. I love how the Greek puts it. The Greek says, with God lies the power to make it so. Hallelujah. Praise God. So with man, his effort, there is no power there. There is no ability there to get him into the kingdom of heaven. But with God lies the ability. Hallelujah. Amen. So a man who will find himself in the kingdom of heaven is a man who gets there by the power of God. Is that clear? And what is the power of God? Romans chapter 1 verse 16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, which is what? The power of God unto what? Salvation. So the power of God that gets a man into the kingdom of heaven is that same message that saved him. The gospel. Hallelujah. Is that clear? Is that clear? So he does nothing, right? He does nothing, right? Hey. Does he do anything? What does he do? He believes in the message. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 9 verse 1. We are still looking at heaven. Mark chapter 9 verse 1. He says, and he said to them, assuredly I say to you that there are some of you standing here who will not taste death till they see the kingdom of God present with power. Now, some have thought that what he said here is the rapture. Now, question. Those people who were standing in the audience, are they alive today? Are they still alive? So, can it be the rapture he's referring to? Because he says that some people among... So, he looks at his audience, which are first century Jews, and he lets them know that some of you here will not die till you see the kingdom of God coming with power. So, obviously, the kingdom of God cannot be us escaping the earth to heaven. Or to a city. Do you see that? Because if that is the case, that never happened and it has still not happened till now. And, okay, let me not say the other part. So, the kingdom of heaven would refer to what happened then. Right? They would see something that would be called the kingdom of heaven. Are you following? Are you following? Now, obviously, what he calls the kingdom of heaven here would refer to his resurrection. Do you get that? Or, let me say, the aftermath of his resurrection. So Jesus dies, he is buried, he is raised, and what he does, that finished work, is called the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. That is what they saw in power. Do you get that? Do you get that? Hey, hallelujah. So the kingdom of heaven is a spiritual reality, yes? Right? John chapter 18. John chapter 18, reading from verse 36. He says, Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. Hallelujah. Do you see that? If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. So those people that are talking about taking down territories. Territories of commerce, territories of oil, territories of medicine, you know, say, you know, my God has called me specially into the medicine field. My kingdom is medicine. My kingdom is oil only. The kingdom of heaven is what? Not of this world. So when you see the kingdom of heaven, it's not fleshly. Do you see that? Do you see that? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, reading from verse 50. Paul talking to the Corinthian church when he explained to them what we call the resurrection. What today has been called the rapture. But the word rapture does not exist in the Bible. What we have in the Bible is the resurrection. Amen? Verse 50, he says, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit corruption. So he lets you know that flesh and blood cannot inherit it. So obviously, this is not a natural city. Right? Because for a natural city, for you to have what is called a city, people have to be there. Are we following? It would have to be inherited by flesh and blood. Now, Exodus chapter 19 verse 3. Exodus chapter 19, reading from verse 3. He says, and Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings, and brought you to myself. Verse 5. Now therefore, if you indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and what? A holy nation. So can we call this God's plan from the beginning? Can we say that God always wanted a kingdom, but in his kingdom we don't see gold, we don't see mansions, we don't see oil rings, we don't see medical advancements. What we see are kingdom of priests. And then he says that they are what? A holy nation. Actually, what the Hebrew says is a nation of saints. Hallelujah. Praise God. So when you see God's city, when you see God's nation, when you see God's kingdom, where he rules, where he exercises authority, you don't see a literal house, you see men. Are you following so far? Are you following so far? So God's initial plan, his initial intent was a kingdom of men. Hallelujah. But because of unbelief of the Jews, okay, they rejected this plan. They rejected this intent. However, the intent remained. Hallelujah. So he carried out, so he will carry out his intent regardless of man. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. Are we there? Matthew chapter 16, reading from verse 13. It says, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Verse 14. So they said, some say John the Baptist. That's funny. I thought it was his cousin. So, Abikum. John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, and one of the prophets. At least, I think Elijah and Jeremiah still make sense. Right? Verse 15. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Verse 16. Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Verse 17. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Now, in verse 18, I want you to pay very close attention. And I also say to you that you are Peter. Okay? And on this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Now, build here, when it says, I will build my church, is not a continuous statement in the Greek. It's not, I keep building my church. The word build here in the Greek is the word oikodomio. O-I-K-O-D-O-M-E-O. O-I-K-O-D-O-M-E-O. Oikodomio, that's the word build here. It's a word that means to found or to establish. When I say, I'm the founder of a company. So, he says, I will found my church. Do you get that? Or, I will establish my church. This happens once and for all. Hallelujah. So, I will found my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Now, it here, obviously, would refer to his resurrection from hell. Right? Right? Because he lets you know that the gates of Hades. Now, when you say gates, the Jews understood what it meant. Because in the Jewish understanding, or in the Jewish custom, when you say gates, for example, when you say the gates of Zion or the gates of Israel, it refers to the power city. Do you understand? Of the city. So when he says the gates of hell, he can say the power of hell cannot stop this. Referring to his resurrection. Remember what we looked at yesterday? He will die. He will be buried. But when he's buried, the power of hell will not be able to prevent his resurrection. Hallelujah. Do you get that? So, he refers to his death, his descent into hell, and his resurrection. Now, see verse 19. He says, I will give you. Now, when he says, I will, it's a future event, right? Is that still I will to today? Or, when the gates of hell did not prevail, he gave. Right? Okay? So, I will give you the keys of the kingdom. Now, you here is not referring to Peter. I know some people have said that Jesus was calling him a pope here. So Jesus ordained the first pope. You here will refer to what? The church. Hallelujah. Remember what he said earlier, I will build what? My church. So the keys of the kingdom were given to who? To who? The church. Hallelujah. See Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, reading from verse 15. Ephesians chapter 1, reading from verse 15. He says, therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in saints, right? And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, toward there is actually in us, right? In the Greek. According to the working of his mighty power. Hallelujah. Which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion, right? And made him to be head over all things to the church. Hallelujah. Amen. And every name that is named, pardon me, and not only in this age, but also in that which is come, and put all things under his feet, and made him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all, and you who were dead in trespasses and sins. Do you get that? Do you get that? So, he dies, he is buried, he is raised, but more than being raised, he now has all authority. Do you see that? He's given all power, he's given all might, he's given all dominion, he's given a name that is above every name that can be named. That is an authority that is above every other authority. Hallelujah. But now, we see Jesus with authority, and after he's given authority, he now tells the church, oh yeah, take. Hallelujah. Do you see that? So, the authority he gets as his resurrection, he hands it over to his church. Hallelujah. So he is made head of all things to the church. To them, the Greek means for the benefit of the church. The reason why he was made head of all things, the reason why he was given authority was for his church. Hallelujah. So the authority Jesus received at his resurrection is for his church. That is exactly what he said to Peter. He says, I will give you what? The keys of the kingdom. The word keys in the Greek is the word klis. Not keys. Klis. K-L-E-I-S. K-L-E-I-S. Now, it's used figuratively because when you say a doorkeeper, someone who has the keys that can open and shut anytime he wants. So obviously that's authority, right? So it is used figuratively for authority and power. Amen. See Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1, reading from verse 18. Jesus is talking here. He says, I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Hallelujah. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades. Hallelujah. And of death. Do you know what that means? Do you know what that means? Do you know what that means? He says, I have the keys of Hades. That is, I have the keys of hell. Do you see that? Do you see that? Hey, Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3 verse 7, it says, unto the angel of the church in Philadelphia, right? These things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has a key of David, he who opens and no one shuts. Authority, right? And who shuts and no one opens. And remember that this authority that he received was for who? The church. So Jesus Christ dies, he is buried, he is raised, and then he is raised from the dead, and then he calls himself the Lord of hell. Hallelujah. That is, it is Jesus that determines who goes to hell. He is Lord even in hell. Why is smiling? Say Jesus. Say Jesus is Lord of hell. Ah. Hey. Say Jesus Christ is the King of hell. He has authority even in hell. Do you know what that means? That means that it is he, sin cannot assert that authority over man again. It is he that now decides. And how does he decide? With his work. Hallelujah. A man who puts faith in that message of his death, burial, and resurrection will never, hallelujah, amen, end up in Hades, because Jesus Christ is now what? Lord of hell. So remember, he got the authority for who? His church. Remember, the man who believes now becomes a member of his church. Hallelujah. So say in Christ, I now have authority over hell. Do you see that now? Do you see that now? So we have the keys. Hallelujah. Praise God. We have the keys of the kingdom. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. The keys of the kingdom, the authority of the kingdom. So when we see Jesus with authority, we will see the same authority with his church. You will never see Jesus. Oh, somebody said something beautiful that blessed my heart. He said Jesus never reveals himself in isolation. Do you get that? Whenever Jesus is revealed, he's revealing something else. So when you see Jesus revealed in authority, he's revealing his church. Hallelujah. Praise God. When you see Jesus reigning over death, reigning over sin, reigning over the forces of hell, he is revealing what his church now has. Hallelujah. Amen. He never reveals himself in isolation. Hallelujah. Amen. So can we say the keys of the kingdom? Can we replace kingdom with dominion? Can we replace kingdom with reign? Hallelujah. So the kingdom of heaven will not be a planet, right? Or a city. Right? Hey. Okay. Now, Jesus in the book of Matthew uses parables to explain the kingdom. Now, parable is a dark speech. But parabole in the Greek, it means you use an illustration or a symbolic representation to talk about something else. So when it comes to parables, you don't focus on the parable. Your business is, what is the parable saying? Amen? Do you get that? So what exactly is the parable saying? You don't bother yourself with, you know, the 10 virgins. Some say the 10 virgins are believers. The five are those who are born again. But the others are those who are saved but are not born again. So the oil is the Holy Ghost. 10 is the number of perfection. The bride, the feast is the rapture. The feast of the firstborn when he comes back again. You don't need all of that. Just look at what was he teaching? Faith and unbelief. Stay with that. Amen. You don't have to start doing exegesis of the symbolisms in parables. So you stick with the message. Amen. Exactly. Now, Matthew chapter 13, verse 10. Matthew chapter 13, verse 10. Hallelujah. And the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? Verse 11. He answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it was not given. Now, mysteries here is mysterion in the Greek, which means covered truth, undisclosed information. That is, truth is present, but it is hidden. This means that before Jesus came, no one ever disclosed the mystery of heaven. So can we say heaven is understood in Christ? So can we say in Christ is the knowledge of heaven? So in Christ we are given the keys of the kingdom, right? Right. We are also given what? The knowledge of the kingdom, right? Okay. Now see the parables he used to explain heaven. Look at verse 18. It says, therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside, verse 20. But he who received the seed on the stony place, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, verse 21. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises for the word, immediately he stumbles, verse 22. Now he who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of the riches choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Verse 23. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it and bears fruit and produces some 100, some 60, some 30. See verse 24. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. Do you see that again? Verse 31. Another parable he put to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in the field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds, But when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. Hallelujah. So, look at everything Jesus Christ has said so far. Look at the parables. How do I say this now? The kingdom of heaven, is it, do these parables portray it as a static location? Or a growing influence? Remember, when a seed is sown, what happens to the seed? It germinates, right? What happens? It bears seed. It bears fruit. The fruit has seed. So, it uses illustrations for the kingdom of God that seems to imply a growing influence. Something that keeps spreading. Just follow. Not a static location. Amen? And obviously, the soil is man's heart, right? Right? In the parable of the soil, the soil is the heart of men, right? Hey. Right? So, the kingdom of God, where is it present? Is it a city? Why do you look angry? Were you looking forward to a city with gold before, that you'll be stepping on gold ground? Just wake up in the morning and then your cup is made with gold. You are drinking coffee from gold cup. You're drinking coffee. Your shower head is gold. It's gold plated. Your room, in fact, your bed is gold. Midas touch. Everything is gold. Your car is gold. Your Bugatti, your chariot is gold. No, they don't use Bugatti in heaven. It's chariots they use. So, your chariot is made with gold. Right? He explains the kingdom of heaven, and he doesn't explain the kingdom of heaven as a location, as a city. Rather, it's a growing reality in the hearts of men. Hallelujah! If this makes you angry, we need to check your salvation. Amen? So, the kingdom of heaven is portrayed as an alive being, or something that is alive. Hallelujah! Not architecture. Amen? A being, not a static location, activity. So the kingdom of heaven is alive and it is moving. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Matthew chapter 13, verse 52. It says, then it came to pass when Jesus had passed, has finished his parables, that he departed from there. Verse 54. Pardon, 52. Then he instructed them, therefore, every scribe instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven is like a householder who brings out of his treasure things new and old. So, he likens the kingdom of heaven to one's treasure. Treasure then refers to the heart, the inward man. Amen? So, the kingdom of heaven is not a static location. It is rather sown into the heart of the man that believes. So the parables show the kingdom of heaven as a place on earth. Hallelujah. In Christ. In man. Do you get that? A place on earth in man. See Psalm 110. Psalm 110, verse 1. The most quoted prophecy in the New Testament. It says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand, till I make your enemies your footstool. Now, right hand here is not second in command, oh. Amen? Or neither is it the literal right hand. No, left hand, right hand. It actually refers to authority. Okay? That is, you give everything you have to another. Amen? So when you see a right hand, you won't see the giver again. The giver will step back and give the person who the right hand is giving to everything. Do you see that? So, in the right hand, you just see one person there. Hallelujah. Then it says, sit. In the Hebrew, the word sit is yashab. Y-A-S-H-A-B. Yashab. It means remain seated. Hallelujah. It means tarry there. Sit down. Don't go anywhere. Hallelujah. That is, when this authority is given, it will never be taken again. Hallelujah. The position of authority is what? Eternal. So, God saying, sit at my right hand, is prophecy concerning man. Okay? That is, he will give all authority to a man. And then he will step back. You will not find God again. Everything you will see will be where? In the man, right? Now, this right hand would therefore not be a geographical location, but a position. Right? 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 So, let's recap now. Where is Kingdom of Heaven? Don't rush. Where is Kingdom of Heaven? From where we started. Eh? In among us. Where is the Kingdom of Heaven? He's with us, I mean. He's above us. He's under us. He's everywhere, sha. Amen. Okay? Now, do you leave the earth to go to the Kingdom of Heaven? Is Kingdom of Heaven a reality on earth? Is he a fixed location or a growing influence? Okay? Now, let's follow Jesus. Hallelujah. Remember, we'll see that kingdom in Jesus, right? Okay, Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Glory to God. Verse 6. Romans chapter 10, verse 6. It says, but the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who we ascend into heaven. That is to bring Christ down from the dead, from above, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. Now, see what it says in verse 6. Notice it doesn't say who will ascend into the kingdom of heaven. Right? But it says who would ascend into heaven. Do you see that? In verse 6. That is, Jesus Christ dies, is buried, and then we see that he entered into heaven. Is that clear? He ascended into heaven. Please follow closely, I beg of you. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8. It says, therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended. What does it mean first? What does it mean? But that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. So, it lets you know that Jesus Christ ascended into the heavens. Verse 10. It says, He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he may fill all things. So, Jesus ascended into heaven to fill it. Do you agree? Now, the word fill in the Greek is the word pleroma. P-L-E-R-O-M-A. P-L-E-R-O-M-A. It means to accomplish. To accomplish. That is, there's a space, then I fill it. Or to furnish. That's the word there. Something is void, then I fill it up. So, all the while, heaven was a mystery. There was a void. Amen? Now, this void is where? Is it that in heaven, there was a very, very fine city that God made for Adam. So beautiful that in that city, the water is so white that once you drink it, your teeth will turn white. Amen. So, you know, there is that in heaven, but it was empty all along. So Jesus Christ now ascended into heaven. He now filled heaven. How fat is he? Amen. He now covered everywhere. Follow. Now, let's see how Paul uses the word heaven in the same book, Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Hallelujah. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing, pneumaticus eulogia, in the heavenly. You observe that the word places in your Bible is in italics, right? Which means it was added by the translator, so remove it. It says, in the heavenly, in Christ. So it lets us know that we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies, in Christ Jesus. So can we say this heavenly is in Christ? Huh? Now, the word heavenly here in the Greek is the word epiranos. E-P-I-O-R-A-U-N-O-S. E-P-I-O-R-A-U-N-O-S. Epiranos. It refers to the non-material, not visible. Do you see that? The non-material, non-visible. Paul repeats the same thing in verse 20 of the same chapter. He says, which he walked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly. So where is the right hand? Right hand, a location or authority. Okay. The Astro Rock Or does the president have authority because of Astro Rock? Or Astro Rock is what it is because of the president? Long answer is correct. So, what makes the villa, what we call presidential villa, hey, where they eat 1 million naira food every day? Golden egg, silver. But a man is using that to eat. Hallelujah. Say money is good. Oh. Oh. Yeah. Ah, okay. So, right hand, a geographical location or authority. So, can we say that the president makes Astro Rock? Astro Rock doesn't make him. Eh? Okay. Follow, please. So, can we say this right hand? Can you say it's a person? Because it's the authority of a person that makes the place the authority. Do you understand what I just said? So can we say the right hand is the right hand because of the person there? So can we say the authority is with the person? What does right hand mean? Authority. So can we say the right hand is a person? Hey. Ephesians 2. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 5. It says, even when we're dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. See, I'm made alive with Christ. This is God's gift of grace to me. Hallelujah. So, it says, by grace you have been saved, verse 6, and raised us up together. Hallelujah. See, I've been raised together with Him. Hallelujah. It says, and made us to sit. Hey! Aha! Hey! In where? The heavenly, hallelujah, in Christ Jesus. Now, heavenly is in Christ, right? Now, location or position? Location or position? So, what happens to a man who believes? That same authority of Jesus at the right hand, he receives as well, hallelujah. Praise God. So, a man that believes also appears at the right hand. Amen. He receives the same authority that Jesus has. Are you excited about what you're hearing? Are you sure? The same authority, hallelujah. Praise God, same authority. The same authority that he has. Hallelujah. That's why in Philippians chapter 3 verse 20, Paul says that our citizenship is in heaven. Hallelujah. The word citizenship means our commonwealth. Hallelujah. Our state. That is where we are. Hallelujah. Say, I am a citizen of heaven. I don't go there. Hallelujah. That is where I am already. Hallelujah. So, God's plan was never for heaven, for man to go to heaven. Check throughout the Bible, you will see that. Amen. His plan was never that man would die and go to heaven. God wanted to bring heaven to man. You understand that song now, B? That beautiful song by my favorite worship band in the whole world. Do you know it? Okay. So, heaven is what? The non-material. Non-material. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 6. Just pay close attention. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 11. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 11. It says, put on the old armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against what? Spiritual hosts of wickedness. Where? So what do we have in heaven again? So Satan is in heaven. Are you seeing? What is in heaven again? Spiritual wickedness, right? So the devil and demons are where? In the heavenlies, right? Now the heavenly referring to the kingdom of heaven or to the non-material. The unseen realm, right? So in the unseen realm, we have demons there too. Do you see that? Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10. That's why we started the way we did. To let you see that heaven is everywhere. Amen. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10. It says, to the intent that now the manifold witness, wisdom of God may be known, made known by the church to the principalities and powers. Now, principalities and powers here refers to angels. Okay, angels of light. So, in the heavenly. So, in the heavenly, what do we have? God, right? We have God, right? What else do we have? Or who else do we have? We have God, right? Aye. We have God. Then who else do we have? Man. Right? After man, who else do we have? You answered everything we said so far. In heaven, heaven is what? The realm of the unseen. The spiritual realm. So there, you will find three beings. Who are they? God, man, and angels. Now, angels and ambi, maybe you look at good angel and evil angel. Maybe mami water, spirit, and then angel of God. Hallelujah. So we have all of these in heaven. That is the unseen realm. So you do see that it would be very funny to make a generalizing statement and say heaven is in the sky. Or heaven is a city. Do you see that now? He says there are even demons there. But you notice that Jesus Christ talked about the kingdom of heaven. Just follow. He talks about the kingdom of heaven. And then he says that this kingdom is not of this world. That is, the sphere of influence is not earthly. Hallelujah. A spiritual reality, not a location. Are we seated there now? Are we seated there now? Ephesians chapter 3. I hope in your mind, don't say you are seated with Christ. You don't see yourself on a throne. A spiritual what? Reality. Is it becoming clear? Ephesians chapter 3 verse 14 says, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth. Now, Kai, right? Heaven, which is what? Earth is named. So it does not differentiate. Do you see that? Do you see that? Hallelujah. So where he is where we are. Hallelujah. Say where he is. Where he is. Where he is where I am. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12. We're here earlier on. It says, we're not wrestled against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness. Where? In the heavenly. So where is this wrestling taking place? Ah. Are we leaving the earth to wrestle? So where is this wrestling? On earth. And where is it? In the heavenly. So everything that Paul taught concerning heaven was on earth. Do you see that? Okay? But he taught spiritual realities. Spiritual realities. Things that are veiled from the eyes of man. So heaven is a place on earth that man can see. Are you following? Are you following? It's a place on earth that man cannot see. It's a reality on the earth that man cannot see. Activities beyond the human sight. Jesus Christ says in Luke chapter 17 verse 20, he says the kingdom of heaven cannot be seen by observation. Do you remember that? Do you remember that? So everything about the kingdom is on earth. Hallelujah. So when he came to the earth, Jesus, he brought heaven down. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. So when a man believes in the gospel, he is not given a hope of going to a strange city up in the sky that is suspended without gravity, that has gold for sand and all of that. No. He enters into a kingdom. He enters into a reality. And that reality is authority. Do you understand that? So the kingdom of heaven is not a place. Hallelujah. It refers to the authority that we now have in Christ. Do you see that now? Do you see that now? It's not a place. So we are not dying and going there. Hallelujah. Amen. It came to us by the gospel. Hallelujah. So God never made for man to, see, that's why I told you yesterday that there is nothing that God, see, if you look at salvation, your idea of salvation, and there's something you are looking at that will come later in the future, you've not really understood salvation. Everything was given at once. Hallelujah. Praise God. Paul even lets us know that it is the same spirit that we receive as salvation that will quicken our mortal body. What we call the resurrection. So everything is here already. Hallelujah. So we are not expecting something in the future. We have it now. Hallelujah. So say I've entered into the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is my reality now. I don't die and go there. Jesus died and gave me the kingdom. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's a reality, not a place. Now, if you are angry, we need to pray for you. If you are thinking that maybe you will be ruling one nation in the sky, we need to pray for you. Because this is good news. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. So, another question somebody will now ask is, so when we die, where do we go? Right? Where then do believers go to when we die? Since everyone is already on earth, right? You think, you see, it's a good question. Don't worry, we'll explain it soon. Just understand this one first. Amen? So, when a man believes the gospel, he enters into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Amen? Amen? So, on earth. Hallelujah. So, the kingdom of heaven is a people, not a planet. Do you get that? The kingdom of heaven is a people, not a planet. Do you remember Thor, Ragnarok, after they destroyed their town? Remember what that guy said at the end? Do you remember? He said what? Talk now. It does not mean you are less spiritual than the rest of us. What's the name of that their town? Asgard, right? He says Asgard is not a place, right? Asgard is what? Why are you smiling? You are giving the mysterious matter. I don't want to be caught as, you are still spiritual now. Amen. You just watch film. Hallelujah. Amen. So, Asgard, heaven. Pray for me. Heaven is not a place. It's a people. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, when a man believes the gospel, heaven comes to him. And he comes into heaven. Heaven now becomes a place resident in him. Hallelujah. See, Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. It says, seeing then that we have a great high priest, who has what? Passed through the heavens, a place of people. A place of people. Okay, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. So by virtue of this, you see that the kingdom of heaven refers to what? Men. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So the unseen realm where you will find Jesus today. Someone asked me a question. I said, where is Jesus today? You know, some people think that Jesus Christ died, his body is raised, and then he just runs away from the earth. He says, okay, bye-bye. See you at the resurrection, and he just goes. No. You won't find Jesus Christ anywhere else except in the heart of the man born again. Hallelujah. So the new creation is now Jesus' heaven. It is that spiritual realm where Jesus is now. Are you following? Are you following? Hey, Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. Colossians chapter 3, reading from verse 1. It says, if then you were raised with Christ. Say, I'm raised with Christ. I'm raised with Christ. He says, seek those things which are above. Now, don't rush you. Because when you see above here, your mind can go back to what you learned in Sunday school. When you were 4. Where what? Christ is. Which is where? Where he was raised to, right? Sitting where? At the right hand of God. So a place or location. A location or a position, right? Pardon me. Position, right? Position, right? So, you don't go to heaven like you're going to a planet. Do you see that? You are raised with him already. Hallelujah. 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 So you are supposed to focus on those things which abound where you are in Christ at the right hand. Do you see that? Is that understood? So you are to seek the things in heaven, which is at the right hand. So far, we've seen that in heaven, we have several beings, right? We have demons, we have God, we have, you know, Jesus, and we have man. And then we've seen so far that the greatest in heaven is the one that has the kingdom of heaven. Do you understand? So there is heaven, which is a spiritual reality that is exclusive to everyone. Then we now have the kingdom of heaven, which is only exclusive for men born again. Hallelujah. And those in the kingdom of heaven are the greatest. Hallelujah. In heaven. They are the greatest where? In heaven. So demons exist, right? Angels exist, right? But who is the greatest in heaven? Who is the chief in heaven? Hey, who is the chief in heaven? Who is the chief in heaven? You've not answered me. You've not answered me. Who is the chief in heaven? Who calls the shots? Who calls the shots in heaven? The one who has the kingdom of heaven. The authority there. The man in Christ. Hallelujah. So when a believer dies, he's not going anywhere. He's not going anywhere. He has always been in heaven. Hallelujah. 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 So say I have heaven. Now, all of it. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. It says, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of saints in the light. Verse 13. Who has delivered us, hallelujah, from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom. Are we there now? Are we there now? Are we going there? Or it happened at redemption? Hallelujah. Of the Son of His love, in whom we have what? Redemption through His blood. Hallelujah. The forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 16. He says, I'll give you the keys of the kingdom. So can we say heaven is controlled on earth? Can we say heaven is controlled on earth by the men born again? Hallelujah. John chapter 20. Verse 17. John chapter 20. Verse 17. Now, please, I want you to pay very close attention. Jesus said to her, do not cling to me, for I have not descended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and to your God. So can we say Jesus Christ is going to the Father, right? Can we call this the right hand? Can we call this the right hand? Okay. Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. Verse 23. Please pay very close attention. I take God beg you. Amen. Verse 23. Therefore, it was necessary that the copies of the things in the heavens, notice that, should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. Verse 24, for Christ has not entered the only place made with hands, hallelujah, which are the copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. So it lets us know, the writer of Hebrews, that Jesus entered into heaven to do what? Verse 23. To do what? Purify. Right? Purify. Now some have said that what he did was that he went to a city, and because Satan used to live in heaven before, so Satan's footprints on the floor, he went to clean it with his blood. Verse 20. He says, saying, this is the blood of the covenant which God has commanded you, verse 21, Then likewise he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all what? The vessels of the ministry. Verse 22. And according to the law, almost all things are purified by blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. So the sprinkling of blood was to do what? Remission of sins. Verse 23. Can we say purify? So can we say the forgiveness of sins is the purification? Can we say that? That the blood of Jesus that was sprinkled is for remission of sins and is the purification of man. Can we say that? Can we say that? Can we say that? So Jesus' blood, was it shed for man or for things? Did he go to heaven to wipe? He says, ha! Oh, Satan's hand was on the wall. Or Satan's hand was on the window. So he goes with his blood. Ah, where's this? So he cleanses everything. He goes into the temple and then he cleanses everything. You know, they said there's a temple in heaven. So he goes there to now wipe everything. Says Adam's sin caused everything to be dirty. He now went into his blood to sweep everything. Sweep, so that man can now enter. Did his blood cleanse things or cleanse people? The blood of Jesus, is it to purify things or to purify people? Are you following? Hey, okay. Now, the blood of bulls and goats in the Old Testament was to purify things, right? In the tabernacle of Moses. And it was figurative. And that's why in Hebrews chapter 10 verse 1, it lets you know that the law is a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things. Do you see that? Do you see that? And that is why it never dealt with sin consciousness. The issue with the Old Testament was sin consciousness. It never happened before in the Old Testament that a man lived without the fear of sin. Okay, that was the issue. In the Old Testament, verse 2, it says that, for then, would they not have been, Hebrews 10 and verse 2, for then, would they not have ceased to be offered? For the worshippers, one purified the world, have no more word, consciousness of sins. You see that? But in those sacrifices, there's a remainder of sins. Every year, for it is impossible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sin. So can we say the good things to come in verse 1 is the work of Christ? Now when we say shadow, types and shadow, in English, or, you know, we can see, say that your shadow is representing you. Or your shadow is like, when we say, is a shadow of himself. We say, you know, but if you stand under a correct kind of light, you will still see your shadow. There's some kind of lights that will show your shadow the way it is. In the Greek, when it says the law is a shadow of good things to come, it does not mean it's a look-alike. It is what's Skia in the Greek, S-K-I-A. It means it's a direct opposite. So what you see happening under Moses' tabernacle is different from what Christ will do in his work. Okay? Complete opposite. Hallelujah. So in the Old Testament, man would sin and man would bring the offering to God for the forgiveness of sins. But in the New Covenant, what God does is that he brings the sacrifice to man. Hallelujah. John chapter 1 verse 9 says, behold the Lamb of God that does what? Takes away the sins of the world. Now, is the Lamb of God not because he's the Lamb that God asks for, but is the Lamb that he provides for the sins of man. Hallelujah. So, under the New Testament, man does not bring an offering to God. Rather, in redemption, God brought the offering to man. Are you following? Are you following? So, his sacrifice is not for things. That blood was not to purify things. Go back to Hebrews 9. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 23. It says, therefore, it was necessary that the copies of the things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. Now, observe, it says heavens, right? Now, it's consistent with the Greek, because in the Greek, it's in the plural. So, it lets us know that Jesus Christ cleanses the heavens. What does that mean? Just back up a bit to verse 9 of the same chapter. It says, it was symbolic, that is the shedding of blood, for forgiveness of sins, for the present time. in which both gifts and sacrifices are offered, which cannot make him who perform the service perfect in regard to what? In regard to what? So the blood of bulls and goats cleanse things, right? But did he ever cleanse man's conscience? Did he cleanse man's conscience? So where was the issue? In the heart of man, right? Okay, verse 10. Concerned only with foods and drinks, various washings, and earthly ordinances imposed until the time of reformation. The word reformation in the Greek is diorthosios. D-I-O-R-C-H-O-S-E-O-S. D-I-O-R-C-H-O-S-E-O-S. It means a rectification. A straightening out. That is, you correct all errors present. Now, are we together? Are we still together? Okay, see verse 11. But Christ came as high priest of what? Good things to come. With what? Greater and more perfect tabernacle. Not made with hands. That is, not of this creation. Are we together? Follow closely. Verse 12. Not with the blood of bulls and calves, but with his own blood. Hallelujah. He entered the most holy place once and for all, having obtained eternal redemption. So, when the high priest enters into the tabernacle, he says he enters what? Once and for all, the most holy place. When he enters, does he come out again? Does he come out again? Okay, and observe as well, it says, he did this having obtained eternal redemption. The word redemption in the Greek is apolutrosis. A-P-O-L-U-T-R-O-S-I-S. Apolutrosis. It means freedom for what previously held bound by paying a price. Freedom from what previously held bound by paying a price. So he says in him, or he has obtained eternal redemption. That is, the redemption or the freedom a man has in Christ from sin is eternal. Do you see that? The payment he makes for that redemption, that buying back, that price he paid, this is life. Hallelujah. So he dies, he's buried, he's raised to set us free from sin, death, and the devil. Now, he obtained eternal redemption already. He now enters. Okay? His entering is not what obtained. Okay? Because the idea that, you know, he entered into the holiest of all to now offer blood, to now obtain eternal redemption. How many of you have heard that before? How many of you have heard that before? That Jesus Christ entered into the holy place. So in heaven, there's a holy place where God dwells. So he entered there with his blood. So he now gave his blood to God so that God will no longer be angry. It lets you know that he entered after he had already obtained. Do you get that? Pay attention to details. So his entering is not obtaining eternal redemption. He already obtained before he entered. Is that clear? Is that clear? Now see verse 13. Please follow closely. It says, for if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of the heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of what? The heart? The flesh. Verse 14. How much more? Hallelujah. Shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. So where was his blood offered? Should I even start and say, what is his blood? He says, through the blood of Jesus, who through the eternal spirit. So what is the blood? The eternal spirit, right? Right? So, how was that offered? Did he go to heaven and say, I am here again. I am here again. Father, I am here again. Holy Ghost, Spirit, come and take control. Is that what he did? Answer that. You're looking at me. You want us to, I should say we should think about it and we should move on. Well, how did he offer? Look at verse 14. He's there. He says what? Through what? The eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, right? That's what NKJV tells us. He says, cleanse what? What did he cleanse? Okay, now, there's a syntax issue here again. Let me rearrange this for you, so maybe it will make much sense. It says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, okay, who through the eternal spirit, it now says, in the Greek, it now sounds something like this, that without spot to God, that to God, now put it after spirit. Because the word to there in the Greek is the word ho, H-O, which is a definite article. It actually means of. Okay? So, who through the eternal spirit of God offered himself? Do you get that? Do you get that? Should I come again? How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit, to there, is better translated of, is a definite article in the Greek. So we can put to God, offered himself, or of God, pardon me, offered himself. So, who through the eternal spirit of God offered himself? Do you get that? It says, cleanse your conscience without spots from dead works to serve the living God. Now, cleansing without spot, does it mean that after I finished cleaning heaven, heaven was shining? There was no more spot in heaven. What is he cleansing? The conscience of man. Hallelujah. The very heart of man. So where is his offering? In our hearts. Hallelujah. Praise God. So at salvation, what Jesus Christ did is he died, he's buried, he's raised from the dead, and he comes to the man who has believed the gospel, and he shed his blood on his heart. Hallelujah. And that blood is the spirit within us today. Amen. So the shedding of blood of Jesus is not a literal thing. When, you know, maybe on the cross of Calvary, when his side was stabbed, what came out? That was the blood of Jesus that saved us. No. The blood of Jesus of the New Testament is that spirit that lives in us today. So can we say that he shed his blood in our hearts? Our hearts, not this one that is pumping blood. Our inward man. Amen. The spirit of man. Hallelujah. So he comes to us and he pleads his blood on our heart. So only Jesus has the right to plead his blood. Do you get that? Only Jesus has the right to plead his blood. He pleaded it once and for all. Hallelujah. When he gave us his eternal spirit in our hearts. Brethren, let's plead the blood of Jesus. As we go on this journey, we cover the road with the blood of Jesus. We cover the car with the blood of Jesus. Cover the windscreen with the blood of Jesus. In fact, we cover the driver's eyes with the blood of Jesus. Then when you have accidents, you wonder what went wrong. Hallelujah. So, is blood purify a place or purify men? Hallelujah. Amen. So, in our hearts, hallelujah. So, the heaven that Jesus went to when he was raised from the dead is the heart of man. Hallelujah. So, heaven is the believer. Do you see that now? Do you see that now? Hey, see the way you are looking at me, but you can sing, you didn't want heaven without Jesus, you brought heaven down. What do you think you are singing? He brought heaven down. Hallelujah. Amen. Heaven now is in the heart of a man who has believed the gospel. It's a being. Hallelujah. Or let me say, people, the church of the firstborn. Hallelujah. Who have the spirit in their hearts. Amen. Amen. So, he went to heaven to purge the conscience of man. That heaven is man. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. He entered into heaven and says, and see what he says. He says in verse 24, he says he entered into heaven itself. Do you see that? Can we say the true heaven? Can we say the true heaven? So he entered into the true heaven to appear in the presence of God for us. Now, bad translation. To appear here in the Greek, it means to disclose. That's the word in the Greek. It means to disclose or to make visible or available. When it says to appear in the presence of God, in there, that phrase, in the, is a definite article in the Greek. It's the word O, H-O. You can say that, okay? Now, it says presence. The word prosopon, P-R-O-S-O-P-O-N, prosopon, which means face, okay? That is, you show that somebody is there. So, when you translate it, it sounds something like this. It says, now to disclose or make available that presence of God for us. Hallelujah. So, in his resurrection, what does he do? He makes the presence of God available in heaven. Heaven is where? The heart of the man who has believed. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you see that? Now, question, is God everywhere? Is God everywhere?
Immortal, invisible, God only one.
Is there present there? Is God everywhere? Yeah, just looking at him. Nobody is saying anything. Is God everywhere? Yeah. Okay. Question. Is God in hell? Is God in hell? Okay. Is God in the believer? Oh. You will say yes. Is God in Satan? So you say that God is everywhere now. Eh? Do you not just say God is everywhere? Is God in the devil? Yes. The devil is indwelled by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Eh? Is God in the unsaved man? Is God in the unsaved man? Does God know what happens in the heart of the unsaved man? Okay. So how does he know? How does he know? If he's not in his heart. Omniscient, Abi. Okay, so he's omniscient, but he's not omnipresent. Right? Let me run away from that. Quickly. Something to think about. He lets you know. Okay? Hallelujah. Amen. He lets you know. When he says that he made available that presence of God for us, obviously, that presence was never in man. Hallelujah. It doesn't have to be present, it was not present in man. So the resurrection of Jesus now makes that presence available to the man who believes the gospel. Hallelujah. So where is heaven? Where is heaven? Okay. Is heaven above us? Oh, I caught you right. Is heaven above us? Is heaven above us? Is heaven with us? Is heaven underneath us? So, where is heaven? I don't know. Is heaven with man? Is there heaven in man? What will heaven in man be? The indwelling of the Spirit. Does the unsaved man have heaven in him? Calm down. The unsaved man, does he have heaven in him? Hey. Okay. The unsaved man, does he have a spirit? Where is his spirit? Does he have heaven in him? Oh, no. What is heaven? The realm of the spirit, I mean. So the unsaved man, does he have heaven in him? Hey! So you know what now possesses the eyes of your understanding. You know the people that have been being enlightened. Where is heaven? In the heart of man. Is he also above man? Is heaven around the earth? Okay, so is he above man? Is he with man? Is it underneath man? Is it also in a man? So, anywhere you see a spirit, that is heaven. Do you understand that? A realm of the supernatural. The realm of the spiritual. Do you understand? But for the man in Christ, what does he now have? The kingdom of heaven. Is that clear? Is that clear? So, heaven is not a place. Hallelujah. I need to reiterate that so that some jargons in the head can be flying out. As I'm saying that, amen? Amen is a reality. Hallelujah. So, Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1 to 3 lets us know that in every unsaved man, there is a reality. He calls that reality the spirit of disobedience. Do you understand that now? Do you understand that now? So, can we say he has heaven in him? But that heaven is what? Spirit of what? Disobedience. The realm of the devil. Or the realm of the unsaved. Hallelujah. But for the believer, is that our case? Is that our case? So what happens to the believer? Everything I've been saying for these last few hours, do you understand it? Clearly, right? So, for the believer, what is present in him? Heaven or the kingdom of heaven? Ah. So where does he enter? He enters himself. To me, the resurrection. He enters the resurrection. Huh? At salvation, something happened to man. Something happened to man. What happened to man was that realm that God was in. Solomon says, he says, I've made a temple for you, but even the heavens of heavens cannot contain you. Do you understand that now? Even that realm of the spirit cannot. So he says, where will you rest? Or where would you find your rest? He says, can we build the Lord Almighty house? Okay? So that continued over the years. It continued from Moses, from Adam, down till Jesus came. Are we together? So man trying to build God that place where God can stay. And all through that time, God never dwelt in a physical building. Do you get that? God's heaven could never be what man made. Do you understand? It can't be a tabernacle. It can't be a hut. It can't be a 30-seater church. Hallelujah. And that's why when we invite people for Christian meetings, we don't say that, come and meet God. Do you get that? Like the venue is where God is. Do you know that tomorrow they can use this place for club? Do you know that? And it's not going to change anything. What makes the household of God, what makes God's heaven, is man. Hallelujah. So he dies, he is buried, he is raised, and then he comes back as a spirit shed in our hearts. His blood shed in our hearts. So what happens to a man who gets saved? Simple, heaven comes to him. He is never to see heaven as something far away from him. See, let me tell you this, as men in Christ, we are most natural in heaven. Oh, you didn't get that. You didn't get that. We are most natural in heaven. Oh, you still didn't get that. We are most natural in heaven. Do you get that? Did you get that? The kingdom of heaven is our natural habitat. Hallelujah. Just like the way you look at fish and you say, fish cannot survive outside water because water is where it lives. That is the new creation. Hallelujah. We don't go there. Oh, it came to us. Hallelujah. Through the teaching of the gospel. Amen. It came to us. Hallelujah. So a man who believes in the gospel, not only does heaven come into him, that is, God begins to dwell in him, he now enters into a realm of authority. Do you understand? That's what we now call the kingdom of heaven. Is that clear now? So heaven enters him, he enters into heaven. Hallelujah. He has God in him, he enters into the realm of God's authority. Hallelujah. Amen. So it's not a place we are looking forward to. There's a beautiful song by a very blessed woman of God, you know. Say, owo timoni kole mu mi dele o. The money I have cannot carry me to the house, abi. The moto, yeah, she's right anyways. You know, the car I have cannot take me to heaven. Now, ejo mu mi dele. So I'm not there yet. I'm not home. So I'm begging you, God, now carry me to that house. Do you know what such teaching has done to believers? It has robbed us. Do you understand? Because in your mind, you think that there is still something that is coming. But in Christ, we are at home. In Christ, we are at home. We are at home. We are citizens of heaven now. Hallelujah. We don't go there, no. It came to us, hallelujah. Through the teaching of the gospel, hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So, heaven is natural to the believer. In fact, the place we function the best is in heaven. Ha! Yeah. Did you get that? The place we function the best is in heaven. Did you get that? Do you understand what Paul says now, that you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit? Hallelujah. Seeing that the Spirit of God dwells in you, hallelujah, praise God. Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5, verse 8. Let's do 9. It says, and they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seal, for you were slain, you have redeemed us to God by your blood, out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us what? Made us what? Kings and priests to our God. Was this God's plan? Was this God's initial plan? So in Christ fulfilled? In Christ fulfilled? And we shall what? Reign! Hallelujah! Where? Are we going to reign? Are we going somewhere to reign? Or the reigning is starting now? Is it starting now? Now, how do we reign? Our authority is in the gospel. By teaching and preaching that message. Second Corinthians chapter 10. Second Corinthians chapter 10 from verse 3. Hallelujah. He says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not walk according to the flesh. Do you see that? Verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, hallelujah, but mighty in God, praise God, for pulling down strongholds. Strongholds here in the Greek refers to false arguments. Okay, we explained this yesterday. A stronghold here is not somewhere up in the sky, it is in the minds of men. Okay, it tells you in the next verse, it says, casting down arguments. You see that? And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So where is this? Immense minds, right? So we can say in the heaven, in the unbeliever, right? Hey, right? So where are we waging war? In the heavenly. So what do we now do? We now take that gospel as our weapon. Hallelujah. In teaching and preaching, we now make the same reality that is present in the new creation, how that God dwells in his heart. Then we now take that same reign, hallelujah, to the man who is bound to the devil, and we set him free. Do you see that? That is the authority of the kingdom. Hallelujah. Teaching and preaching the gospel. Hallelujah. Amen. So the enemies of Jesus are not men. They are spiritual entities. Hallelujah. In the heart of men. Do you see that? So where is our wrestling? So the heavenlies that Paul talked about, when he says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but spiritual against the heavenly, where is it? In the hearts of men. We now wage war. Hallelujah. Somebody is saying he's fighting warfare, spiritual warfare. He's not preaching the gospel. So you want to go and fight spiritual warfare. So you go on top of a cocoa house to go and pray so that you can fight all the demons in the heavenly places. Do you know how we are fighting? Do you know how we are fighting? Do you know how we are fighting? When you pray, hallelujah. When you study God's word, that you have enough information to get another man saved. That's fighting. That's the kingdom. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's the kingdom. Amen. So we exercise our authority in the kingdom by teaching. Something else again. Okay. We exercise our authority in the kingdom also via words. Via words. You look at the story of this centurion when Jesus in Matthew chapter 8, verse 5 to 10. When Jesus Christ spoke to him, and you know, he says that I want you to come and heal my servant, and then Jesus Christ says, I will come and heal him, and he says, no. He says, I'm a man under authority. He says, I say to one, go, and he goes, and I say to one, come, he comes. So Jesus Christ looks at him and says, In all of Israel, I have not seen such great faith. Do you understand that? So there's a lesson to learn from that story, that authority is expressed via words. Do you see that? As I said to one, it comes. I said to one, go, he goes. You see that authority is expressed or exercised via words. You see in Mark chapter 11 as well, the story of the fig tree. Jesus used what? His words. Hallelujah. Do you see that again? Do you see that again? So what did he use? His word. It tells you in Matthew chapter 8 verse 16 that Jesus cast out demons with a word. So he exercised his authority with words. Hallelujah. In John chapter 14 verse 13 and 14, it lets you know that if you ask anything in his name, you will have it. His name is what? His authority, right? That reputation that he got in his resurrection. Hallelujah. John chapter 16. Let's go there. John chapter 16 from verse 23. John 16 verse 23. He says, and in that day, you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. 24. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be full. The word ask in the Greek is the word aitheo. A-I-T-E-O. It means to demand what is already yours. Hallelujah. Amen. So you will ask for a thing to be done, and then it will be done. James chapter 4. James chapter 4 verse 7. Hallelujah. Are we there? Verse 7, it says, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The word resist there in the Greek is the word antistemi. A-N-T-H-I-S-T-E-M-I. It means to forcefully declare your convictions. Do you see that? So your resisting is how? In words, right? In words, right? What do? You make decrees, right? You make decrees, right? Ecclesiastes chapter 8 verse 4. Ecclesiastes chapter 8 from verse 4. It says, where the word of a king is, there is power. Hallelujah. Amen. So with authority comes words, right? Comes orders. You see in Matthew chapter 14, 6 to 10, when Herod said, see, ask me for anything and I will do it to you. And then she says, give me the head of John the Baptizer. Remember that story? And then he could not go back on his word. Showing us an important principle that with authority, or with the words of authority, comes power. Do you see that? So where there is authority, men speak. Hallelujah. So how do we exercise this authority? How do we exercise this authority? By just saying, I have authority. I have authority. I have authority. I have authority. Authority is mine in Christ. Is that what I do? A demon is disturbing you. So they are always chasing you in your dream. It's always you. The night before it was an old lady. Today is a dwarf. Tomorrow it is a goat. Just you. Ha! Authority, hallelujah! Praise God! Hallelujah! Authority! That is the kingdom of heaven. It's not the place. It's your authority that has been given to us in Christ. Hallelujah! Do you see that now? Do you see that now? So you speak words. Hallelujah! You speak words. No drama. Want to cast out a demon. What is your name, sir? My name is Obonikoko. Where are you from? I'm from the left side of River Niger. Why are you here? This man has not been paying his tithes, so the devil sent me to visit him. What is your business with his credentials? Are you trying to employ him? You say, where's your business? Tell me your business experience. Let me see your experience. How many years? How many years have you been oppressing men? Okay, I want to employ you. Is that your business? What does Jesus Christ say? In my name they will cast out. Hallelujah. You don't ask. Amen. Cast out. Amen. No, see, no drama. Don't cast out. Go. Hallelujah. Authority is talking. I remember there was this particular woman when I was at some point in my life, I started going to school by myself. I was used to always being taken to school, but at some point in my life, I started going. Then there was this woman at this junction I used to get to school. She practiced sorcery. So what she does is that she was operating via a demon, and she would tell people their names. She was begging for money, so she would tell people their names so as to get their attention, so that they would give her something. So somebody would pass and say, what may I yo? The man just look at her like, hey. Then she would give her money. You understand? Say, Daddy James. So she was doing that for a while, and like Paul, I was grieved in my spirit. Hallelujah. And then no drama. All this, when there is authority, you don't need to be shouting. Do you understand what I'm saying? Look at Trump and the letter that he sent. Authority. Do you understand what I'm saying? You don't need to shout. Hallelujah. Look at when you were in secondary school. There are some sinners that will call your name that you don't even need to. You just come, sir. A senior that is saying, if you are not careful, I will beat you. You are testing my baby. He does not have any power. They are saying, hey, Joshua! Yes, sir. When you see somebody that is shaving, something you only saw your father do, and you see a fellow student doing that, you know that power plus power. We are all students, but we are not all students. Some are Jews, but some are not Jews. Amen. So, authority! Yeah, what? Hallelujah. So I saw the woman, and then all of that, I just passed in front of her, and I stood and I looked at her, and I said, you demon, causing this to happen. In the name of Jesus, leave and never return. Oton. Immediately I said that, she stopped talking. It was like the power that was causing her to do all of that stopped immediately. She didn't say anything again. People were passing. She was just looking at them like this. And then she now went and she sat down on the floor. She was just looking. That was the last time I saw her there. Hallelujah. Authority is what we have in Christ. Don't feel scared. Let me say this. This will help somebody. Don't feel scared to use your authority. Okay? Don't feel unworthy to use your authority. Don't feel like, I've not been praying for the last 10 days. I've not been studying. Now, is studying good. What have you been doing all these days? Amen. Study. Amen. But that is not what gives you authority. What gives you authority is the faith that you put in Jesus Christ. He says, these signs shall follow them that what? Believe in my name. Hallelujah. That name would refer to his authority. So it lets you know that a man who believes in the gospel automatically receives that same authority. He became the head over all things for his church. Hallelujah. So you will never see Jesus reigning in isolation. Hallelujah. Just like the way he didn't die in isolation, his death was our death. He was not buried in isolation, his burial was our burial. He was not raised in isolation, we're raised together with him. When he's reigning, we are reigning with him. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. So see, I have the same authority that Jesus has at the very right hand of God. I'm not trying to get authority
authority came to me when I believed the gospel. Hallelujah! Hey! Hallelujah! Now remember Psalm 2. Please read it quickly. Psalm chapter 2. Psalms chapter 2. Reading from verse 1. It says, why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? Verse 2. The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, verse 3, let us break their bones in pieces and cast away their curse from us. So we see men planning against God, right? But men are coming together to plan against God. And we saw, or we see what God does. He says, he who sits in the heavens shall do what? Shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in what? Derision. Then he shall speak to them. Said the word then in the Hebrew means at that very moment. So he's not laughing and then doing something. Okay? At that very moment, he speaks to them in his wrath and distresses them in his deep. So he's laughing is what is doing the work. Do you see that? Do you see that? Now, who is he who sits in the heavens? Who sits in the heavens? So, those that sit in heaven, what do they do? Get in the flow. Get in the flow. Come on, be on your feet. Be on your feet. Be on your feet.
God, laugh some more. Laugh yourself to stupor. Laugh till you are drunk with authority, till it becomes a reality to you. See yourself at the right hand and laugh about it. Here you go. Sataro is on you now. Take in the name of Jesus. There it is. Hallelujah. Yeah.
Stand, only chance is coming on you now. Stand, only chance is coming on you now. You'll be able to stand. You'll be able to stand from the crown of the head to the soles of your feet. There it is. The power of the Lord Jesus on you right now. Kyle, the literature is coming on you now. It's coming on you now. Power of the Lord Jesus. Take it. You won't be able to stand. There it is. Pastor Isaac, please come, sir. Ha ha ha!
Come on. Who thinks they can try? Come and take the mic. Come and help us close service. Come. Come and help us run this off. Come. Come and help us run service off. Oh, okay. Come on, we need to go. Come on, around this one. Okay. Come on. First round of service. Anyone? Hey, let's go. Come now. Joy, full of glory. Hallelujah, full of glory, unspeakable. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, lift your hands and give him praise. Lift your hands and give him praise. I can barely stand myself. Just lift your hands and give him praise.
Yeah,
Praise God. So I'll be laying hands on everyone here now. I want you to do something before I do so. When it comes to the ministry of the laying on of hands, one thing is very important, and that is your expectations. Okay? So when I lay hands on you, the desires of your heart will be met. Okay? But I want you to do something now before I do that. Put two things on your mind. Alright? One thing for your natural things, it could be your academics, your career, you know, your relationships, that you need the power of God to create a turnaround in. Okay? Put that on your mind. Then put something concerning your ministry. Okay? In your mind as well. Maybe you want a better teaching ministry. You want a better power ministry. Whatever it is, a healing ministry. Whatever it is. You know, if you want to see the tangibilities of God in your ministry like never before. Okay? Whatever it is, you know, you determine your desires. So put that on your mind now. Two things. One, your natural things. Second, your ministry. Okay? And just pray about it for a few minutes. Let's do that now. Pray about them. Pray about them. Put them on your heart and pray about them. Once I lay hands on you, that's the answer. So pray about them. Pray about them. Pray. So be answered by the ministry of my So we'll start with the first row. Please, I need your help. Team members, please just help. We'll start with the first row. So, like that, until the back. So I'll be laying hands on you now. When you get here, don't pray again, okay? It's time to receive the answer to what you've prayed for. Do you understand? So when hands are laid on you, the power of God will be made available to that situation or those situations, and there will be a turnaround. Hallelujah. So, thank you.
Et ça, pas la